Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Going to do a little Justin Herbert market review. And with Herbert, as this question came up in the Analytics Dynasty group me chat, just to get an idea of someone to look at his value. So from a threshold perspective, this is something I'll cover in the 2022 edition of the Analytics of Dynasty, but I think I've done a podcast on it before, basically looking at quarterbacks by hit, essentially. When you look at guys up in the top 12, each step you take, right? So guys that are no hits have performed pretty significantly worse than guys that have hit multiple times. They've performed worse than guys that have hit once, right? And as we know from density and base rates and all those numbers, that shouldn't shock. Herbert's in a little bit of a different situation. He's getting the elevation from being being one of the top guys as a rookie, right? From being having a really good rookie season, he's being elevated up. Again, he's ahead of pace for career hits, but it is a question in terms of, do we want to trust just one hit, or are we going to wait for a little bit of a confirmation to that? And there's variants that can play a big impact and all sorts of things like that we see in plenty of different aspects. Quarterbacks aren't immune from it. And so waiting another year on a guy like Herbert, there's reasons, and I'll dive into it in a minute. There's reasons with Herbert to really think that. So that's one thing that I would question about him, and I'll talk about that in a second. The PFF did a really interesting workup on him. So his numbers really good, and this comes off the back of the Tyrod Taylor supposed to be a starter with the punctured lung, all that stuff. That pretty bad story there where he got the painkillers, punctured his lung and missed a bunch of time, and in that span, Herbert went off and had a huge season. 4,336 passing yards is good for 7.3 yards per attempt. Better than 3-1 touchdown interception ratio. 31 touchdowns. That's 5.2% of his attempts. So that is above the baseline number there. So you would expect there's potential regression there. It's not a huge outlier, but that's something to keep in mind. Interception, only 10, so that's 1.7. That's better than the number. So that's obviously a skill you can control a little bit more than you can control some of the touchdown numbers. When you sort of look at more of his stats, 76% of his passing attempts were on target. That's a pretty good number. Basically, everything is above the baseline. So yards per attempt, some of the net yards, adjusted net yards per attempt, completion percentage. We don't really care much about that. But all of that sack rate, quarterback rate, all of that over the average there, over the median as well, in terms of across the board, excellent season. So that's sort of the threshold perspective there on Justin Herbert. So from a 30,000-foot view, hey, rookie quarterback, good start to his career, has good numbers. That's a good sign. Absolutely is a good sign. When you dig a little deeper, there are questions. Again, we come at it from the base rate of, hey, the one-hit guys, there's concern there. Again, he's probably ahead of, if you were to just do a simple base rates theoretical exercise, he would be ahead of pace just because he beats he did it early. So that's a good thing. When you look at some of the adjusted numbers, he was at 1.5 completion percentage over expectation. So his expected completion percentage, 61.5. His actual completion percentage, 66.5. That's up in the top third of the position. So again, good. I wouldn't consider it elite, but it's very good. It's very good. When you sort of look, I use Football Guys as my source of, naturally as my source of stats. Just their basic scoring. You could sort of do quarterbacks, one of the positions you could change a lot of different things about it and say, hey, look, he's a top, you know, three guy, or, you know, he's outside the top 10, or, you know, all of those, you know, the interceptions, touchdowns, yardage things, those can all move around. Herbert, I think pretty consensus, top 10 guy, just the basic football guys rankings has him at quarterback 9. So, again, when you look at it, he basically finished right about on par with Ryan Tannehill, within basically a point of him. He played one less game, so probably would have passed him most assuredly if he played 16. Brady as well, basically on a per game basis, probably looks a little bit closer to something like quarterback 7 or so, from where he is of the guys up there that had. Basically, anyone up in the top 20 had 15 or 16 games played. So, you know, there's not any huge vaulters from outside of that range. So, again, very, very good season. Now, the question is sort of what do we expect going forward? Well, PFF did some analysis, and I find this stuff to be pretty interesting. Again, this is, we try and go a little bit further beyond just a headline, and to think about where we might be going. And one of the things with Herbert is he performed really well in stats that aren't that sticky. So, for example, and PFF did a really good breakdown of him. He finished as the number one graded quarterback in the NFL when under pressure, according to PFF's metrics, 3.5 points better than the next player, who happened to be Patrick Mahomes. So he had a 77.1 grade. It's out of 100. So very good. Obviously top of the position. He threw only two picks when under duress, and produced the lowest turnover worthy play rate of 2.3%. So that's pretty good as well. When you sort of look at some of the other stuff, it's a little bit concerning. Again, they make a really good point of, don't dismiss his play or remove it from consideration, but rather accurately understand what it tells us and whether it can predict future performance. And that's the thing that we need to think about, and that's a place where we can get the edge when we sort of look at some of these stats. He played well under pressure, which is a very volatile stat from year to year. If you go back, like, there, PFF's done some work on this over the years. Like, there's a really elite Carson Palmer year that basically all of his stats stayed the same except his performance under pressure, which was the best of his career by a wide margin, and that showed up as being his really elite season, and that's a really fluctuating stat year over year. So that's one thing when you sort of see that stat, you have to be a little bit concerned over. The stickier stat, and this is the reason why I've been kind of on Derek Carr, is performance from basically a clean pocket. He ranked 22nd percentile in PFF grade from a clean pocket, which is one of the most predictive metrics from season to season. He's also below the 50th percentile in grade on early downs, grade when targeting beyond the first down marker, and percentage of negatively graded plays. These areas all have shown to be more potent predictive power than the things he excelled at as a rookie, and they weren't good, right? So basically, the things that are predictive year over year, there's some questions there. The things that are more volatile year over year, he did pretty well in. So that's a concern to me. Again, I like Justin Herbert. I liked him over market coming into the NFL, but that's one of those things that I have some concern with overall. So one of the big stories I think we need to watch for and probably grapple with in some way, shape, or form, I don't think I'm particularly good at predicting where the market's going to move on positional preferences. So we've seen quarterbacks, we've seen 10 quarterbacks go in the top 12, 13 picks in a lot of drafts, and Herbert being in the later half of that group, that's typically a range that we see, you know, fourth round of Superflex startup drafts. Well, now he's going in the first or late, or, you know, early second, right? That's the range where he's going. That is expensive historically. Is the market really moving towards that? Being we're going to go, going to get to a point where it's going to be consistently 10, 9, 11, right, out of the first 12, 13, 14 picks. Is that what we're expecting at the position? We've seen consistently over and over that the positions have changed and the strengths of the positions in particular and their balance between them have changed. So I, you know, in the first book, I wrote about the Odell Beckham Jr. effect, which is basically that after Odell Beckham Jr.'s 2014 class, receivers started going a lot earlier in startup drafts. And that coincided with a drop in some of the elite running backs' ages. So that's something that I sort of looked at and said, you know, is this another one of those situations where, hey, maybe there's some weakness at running back, for example. I don't think that's necessarily true, but you get guys like McCaffrey and some of these other guys who are maybe a little bit older, have some wear and tear. You sort of put all these elite quarterbacks up at early in the draft and, you know, hey, they showed some promise. We're going to vault them up. Is that a pattern? Is that a one-off? Is that the new normal? I'm not sure. But if all of a sudden, you know, the market changes and quarterback 10 is going in the third round or the fourth round, that's a big time difference. And that's one of the reasons why I have a little bit of question and concern about going early at the position if you're not going with someone that we really trust, truly trust long term. Because investing in someone like Burrow, for example, like I like Burrow, but there's questions about him. And if he's not going to, if he's not sort of already there, there's a lot of risk. He basically has it from a, hey, he doesn't do it perspective. And from a, the market sort of moves against him perspective. Herbert, a similar case. Again, we like him probably a little bit more because he's got the sample size, but that's a concern. Add that into the fact that, hey, there's some key regression numbers here. And that gives me a lot of pause because you could see a guy who's going, you know, 108, 109, 110, you know, 111, 112, that range of the first round of startup drafts, you could see things really break against him in multiple ways. So I don't know if the quarterback market's super going to shift versus other positions. I think we'll have to see how the other positions do and how guys like Herbert and Burrow and sort of that range of the position, if they fall off a little bit while other positions uptick, we'll sort of see a rebalancing. Maybe that's next year, maybe that's 3 years, whatever. But that would be something that I would sort of be concerned that it's potentially breaks away from us. So that's a concern I have with Herbert along with the regression stats. The trade market presents some interesting opportunities for Herbert. Justin Herbert and Devonta Booker for Dak Prescott and Breshad Perriman. And give me Dak, just because a lot more security, we know a lot more about him, and the ancillary pieces don't really move the needle. Justin Herbert for Lamar Jackson. That's a really fascinating one in terms of what you value. I have questions about Lamar Jackson. I have questions about Justin Herbert. I can see going either side on that. Again, I hate these types of one-for-one quarterback positional trades. I think gun to my head, I'd probably pick Herbert. But I think it's a debate that I think if you're making that kind of trade, you're probably making trades in the wrong way. Tyreek Hill for Justin Herbert, I probably wouldn't give up the quarterback positional value there for Herbert, but I think it's interesting. Jordan Love, Michael Pittman, Henry Ruggs, Hassan Reddick, Isaiah Simmons, a first and a second. That's IDP for Justin Herbert. I mean, give me Justin Herbert just because it feels like you're taking five or six dimes for a dollar. Yeah, I'd be interested to see some of the IDP stuff, but if those guys aren't huge pieces, even if they are, defense is just much more replaceable and variant from year to year. Matt Ryan, Ezekiel Elliott, Darren Waller, and Ryan Fitzpatrick for Herbert, Moss, Juju Smith-Schuster, Gesicki, and Haskins. Man, I'd probably have to be pretty hard on the just the concern that I would have with the Herbert side, I guess, is that he's basically the best asset in this deal, and the three next assets are on the other side. Just a concern to me when you do that. You know, if I'm contending, give me the Ryan, Elliott, Waller, Fitzpatrick side. That would sort of be my take on it. If I'm sort of not contending, like, that side can go away from you pretty quickly. But I think that, like, there's wins on the Zeke side of that deal. Justin Herbert and Nick Chubb for Justin Fields and Dalvin Cook. It's just, roughly speaking, the running backs cancel each other out. I mean, I'd probably take Cook over Chubb just because of the insulation factor. And Cook's going at a higher cost, but the jump from Herbert to Fields is pretty notable. So give me the Herbert side again. I don't love that deal. It'd feel better if it was Dak or a number of other of those other quarterbacks up in that range, but I would take the Herbert side there. Herbert and Keenan Allen, which is an interesting stack, for Matthew Stafford, Chris Carson, Kenny Galladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, and a future third. That's one where I'd be really tempted to take the Stafford side if there was a better asset on it besides Stafford. So, again, this feels like you're just kind of grouping pieces together. I don't love that tactic. If this was, you know, Stafford and, you know, maybe even a running back I like better, or a wide receiver I like better, it would change the script maybe, or a pick, you know, if that was a first maybe. But I don't think the difference between Justin Herbert and Matthew Stafford is like a galaxy apart, but it's probably a first apart in terms of value at this point. And you're basically at that point trading Allen for Smith-Schuster, Galladay, and Chris Carson. I'm not sure, you know, if you're trading Kenny Galladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, and a third for Keenan Allen, and then you say it's Stafford and Carson for Herbert, I guess, but I would, I'd be hesitant to do a deal like that. Justin Herbert, Devin Duvernay, Cooper Kupp for Patrick Mahomes and Jamal Williams. Like, that's exactly the type of deal you should be doing. Give me Williams. Aaron Jones and – or give me Williams and Mahomes there, rather. Aaron Jones, Justin Herbert for Josh Allen, Zach Moss, and a 2022 first. This is interesting because it's a lot of how you look at Josh Allen, I think, dictates how you feel about this trade. You know, Aaron Jones – is better than Zach Moss in a first. So it is a true gap between Allen and Herbert that you're debating. I don't know. I think you're getting the pick and you're getting Allen. You could sort of figure out a way to get something similar to Jones. I think probably for, you know, whether it's two or three bit pieces, you know, two or three injury away guys, I think you could probably accomplish what Aaron Jones could accomplish or get relatively close to that, and then give me the insulation of knowing Josh a little bit more about Josh Allen than I do Herbert. Justin Herbert, Chase Claypool, a future first and a future second. Those are both 2023 picks for Saquon Barkley and 101. You know, if you just give Herbert the 101 spot there, and it's basically Claypool, a first and a second for Barkley. That's an interesting one, right? That's a pretty interesting one. Give me the Barkley side. Herbert, Julio, and Jalen Guyton for Josh Allen and Michael Pittman. I think I know more about Allen, and this one feels similar to the other deal. You know, Julio's probably more valuable than Pittman. Again, I'm not sure how much it moves the needle when you're playing such a quarterback, important quarterback position. So that gives me some pause. Last one, Justin Herbert and Brandon Ayuk for Mahomes and Rager. I think we covered this in a prior, did you get enough for Mahomes? The answer to the question, no. So that'll pretty much do it for Herbert. Again, I think he's an interesting asset. He's probably more asset than he is bona fide core guy at this point, just because, you know, he's very, very good. There's concerns about him. Yeah, you know, there's concerns about his profile, and I would probably be looking either move. He's the perfect pivot guy because you can move up or you can move down at the position and get something you like more. So in terms of feeling good and secure. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Justin Herbert, until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.